Have you ever had somebody ask you the question, "Hey, did you do the very best you could do on that project," or whatever else it may have been, or "Did you put your whole heart into it?" Now, there's probably times when we've had to do something and we really just didn't put all of our effort into it. And it showed because most of the time people know us well enough and know us good enough to know that we didn't put forth quite the effort that maybe they were expecting, or that maybe it was the effort that they would expect from us when it came down to trusting us with something to do. So one of the big questions today is simply this: how are you doing? Are you putting forth your best effort in your spiritual walk? Are you giving it all you've got? Not just your spiritual walk, but in each and everything that you do. Listen, I want you to grab your Bible today. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at the power of positive action. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, I want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and we're just going to deal with a couple of those verses along the way. And we're going to look at Paul. Paul was one of those guys that essentially turned out to be one of the greatest preachers that we've ever known. He didn't start off as Paul. In fact, he was one of the greatest Christian persecutors that we've ever read about in the Bible. And it wasn't until his meeting with the Lord on the road to Damascus, when his name was changed from Saul over to Paul, and he became one of the greatest preachers over time that we're still talking about here some 2,000 plus years later. There's a lot of things that we can learn from Paul. So let's go ahead and look at our text. We're only going to deal with a couple of verses today. Colossians chapter 3, and we're actually going to begin reading at verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 23, says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask again that your word would spring to life within our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that's our teacher, that's our guide. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would help us to be able to calm ourselves before you. Lord, whatever the day may have held, it may have been a rough day, may have been a good day. And Lord, there are probably some distractions that are going on around us, but I pray that you will truly help us give heed to what the word of the Lord says to us today. Lord, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, may we be receptive to what we hear from the Spirit. And Lord, as always, I ask that you would use me as your messenger, that you and you alone truly would be the one that is high and lifted up, the one that's truly in charge. So Lord, bless our time around your word today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I mentioned just a moment ago, we were talking about Paul. We were talking about what kind of a man he was. Paul was the emotionally mature man. You know, he was rejoicing in the Lord always. A lot of these character qualities we learn about him, we read in the book of Philippians. But he was one of those guys who was rejoicing in the Lord always. And I love that word always. Not just sometimes, but always. You know, many folks that are from around here, if you're from Central Baptist Church, you've heard me use that expression. And I've even mentioned it in our Wednesday Bible studies where, I'll say, "God is good." And then people will respond, "All the time." And then I'll say, "All the time, God is good." That means regardless of what is taking place in your circumstances and situations. Now, Paul was truly experiencing, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he was experiencing the peace that passes all understanding. Now, if you've ever been in a circumstance or a situation, and maybe it's something that's been traumatic in your life, maybe it's a situation, maybe it's the loss of a loved one, whatever the case may be, and we can claim this particular passage that God truly indeed, as we rely on him, will provide for us a peace that truly does pass all understanding. I wish I could describe it. I know I have felt that way, particularly over the last couple of months. God has given me peace about a lot of things, and in particular, some certain things. And I can't explain it. I've tried to tell people, and I said, the only way I can explain it is Philippians 4:7, that God truly provides a peace that passes understanding. We can't even wrap our mind around it, and yet he provides that peace. Now, Paul, there was also something else we learned about Paul over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, and that he was content in any situation. Now, you have heard me preach over and over again about this thing that we call circumstantial faith. Now, what is circumstantial faith? Circumstantial faith means that how we feel about the Lord and our spiritual walk ebbs and flows based on our ever-changing circumstances. So if our circumstances give us a bad day, then all of a sudden we wind up having a bad time spiritually. And the Lord told us that's not the way that it should be. Yet he also said that in whatsoever state that we're in, that we should find ourselves content because our how we are as children of the King should not be based on our ever-changing circumstances, because they are truly changing all the time. But yet there was something else that we learned about Paul as we come into our text today, and that's that Paul was a man of action. He wasn't the guy who was huddled up over there in the corner, afraid to be able to go forward with plans. He was not the guy who would sit back and say, well, okay, I'm too afraid to do something. I'm afraid I'll fail, and I'm so afraid of that I'm not going to do anything. That was not Paul. Paul was not trembling about the future. He wasn't sitting back in fear of what was going to take place in the next 5 minutes or the next day or months or even years down the road. His attitude was, well, you know what, we've got too much to do today to sit there and be trembling and worried about the future. Maybe we should as well. You know, the Lord told us he doesn't promise us that we actually have our next heartbeat or our next breath. So we should live in the moment that God has given us and do. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't plan for the future. That would be silly and insane not to plan for the future, but not to worry about that, not to be so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow that we're not living for the day. And I hope that makes sense to you, because I know a lot of people that are that way. They're too busy worrying about what's going to take place tomorrow and planning for tomorrow that they're not living for and enjoying the day that God's given them. So the problem is, when the next day comes, they're not going to live in and enjoy that as well, because they're still planning for the next day. So enjoy the times and the moments that God has given you, even though the circumstances may not be exactly stellar for you. So Paul was also that guy who didn't live in despair. He said there's too much living to do. He wasn't a person that would hold anything back. He said there's too many people that we need to get out there and win for Christ. So yeah, as I looked at Paul, I thought to myself, there were a lot of things that he was doing. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing? You know, are you doing anything for Christ that stretches you? Anything that takes you out of your comfort zone? And let me tell you, there's a lot of things that will take you out of your comfort zone. You know, some people say, well, you know, I have a tough time going up and talking to somebody about Christ. And I usually respond, do you have a tough time going up and talking to anybody, period? And sometimes people will say, yeah, I do. I'm more of an introvert. I'm not much of an extrovert. But then there's other people who sit back and say, I don't have any trouble. I'll go up and talk to that wall, and we can find things to talk about, and I don't have that sort of an issue. But when it comes down to sharing Christ, all of a sudden they clam up. What are you doing that stretches you to do something for Christ? Well, let's talk about those things for a minute. Yeah, do something to enrich your Christian life. I'm going to give you some things to do through this week. And one of those is that I want to challenge you to do something that's going to enrich your Christian life. Now, notice how I said that, your Christian life. What does that mean? That means get serious about your Bible study. That means, yeah, sit back and through prayer say, Lord, I really want you to speak to me today as I study your word. Get serious about it. Don't just have that be something that you do because somebody said it was a good idea. Or don't just get so caught up in a rut that all you're doing is you read through a chapter or two or however you may do your personal Bible study. And then when you walk away from it, there's nothing that comes to your heart or mind. You just did it mechanically. It didn't mean anything to you. The Spirit didn't speak to you. It's time to get serious about your Bible study. That's something that I challenge you to do this week. How about start memorizing some Bible verses, some of those key verses that when you have conversations with somebody, there are certain things that have come up and you've sat back and said, oh, no, that's in the Bible somewhere. I just don't know where it is. Well, you know, if you memorize it, you can always take it back to them. That's one of the things I love about our kids in Awana, as they learn these Bible passages. And I love the pledge to the Bible. I think I mentioned it, maybe even been last week. where the pledge that they say to the Bible is, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. And folks, when you do that, the Holy Spirit will bring those passages to your mind as you need them in your everyday walk. So there's another challenge. What have we talked about so far? Get serious about your Bible study. Start memorizing some scripture. How about make a list of your blessings to be able to give thanks for? So many times we go to God in prayer and we're asking for all these things, and God wants us to do that. He wants us to carry our cares to Him. But how many times have we ever stopped to thank God for all the blessings that He has given us in life? You know what? Most of us had the chance to wake up this morning. Most of us had a chance to put 2 feet on the floor and walk. Most of us opened our eyes and we had vision to see. Those are things that too often we take for granted, and yeah, until we lose them. When we lose them, we realize how blessed we really were. So why don't you make a list of blessings to be able to give thanks to God for? And listen, if you've got it written down on paper, that's perfectly fine. God doesn't mind you having a cheat sheet when you're praying to look at those things and carry them to Him in thankfulness. How about, you know, if you're spending your time and you're an avid reader, why don't you read a Christian book along the way? You know, first of all, hey, the Bible's always one, but how about reading maybe a Christian book that'll teach you or strengthen you in an area such as faith or grace or one of the many characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit? There are all kinds of them out there. So I want to challenge you to do that. And then I also want to challenge you to put away all bitterness, all anger, and forgive one another. I don't know that there's a person that I have ever talked to in my life that if I said, hey, look, are you bitter towards somebody, or are you angry towards somebody or something? I think 100% of the time somebody said, yeah, there's somebody that I'm bitter with, or there's somebody that I'm mad or angry with. My challenge to you is to forgive them. The Lord tells us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Will you do that? So what are you doing? Do something. Now, how does that tie into our passage today? I want to go particularly down to verse 23 that says this. It says, and whatever you do, remember, we're talking about some things to do. So whatever you do, it says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You need to be doing these things to the Lord, not to men. You need to be doing these things to please God, not to please man. Now, remember, I said one of the things that you can do is that you can do something to enrich your Christian life. And I gave you some things. Get serious about Bible study. Memorize some Bible verses. Make a list of blessings. You know, read a spiritual book that's going to help you with your walk with Him. And put away bitterness and anger and forgive everyone. Okay? So that is doing something to enrich your personal Christian life. Okay, but there are other factors outside of that. How about your family? Well, I want to challenge you this week to do something for your family. Now, some of us probably sit back and say, well, I do that all the time. Well, what are some of the things that I can give you along the way? And remember, we're doing this based on this particular passage out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 that says, and whatever we do, do it with all of our heart. That's what heartily means. Do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. So what are you doing for your family that is as unto the Lord? Well, yeah, you can ask your wife or your husband to forgive you for being angry, you know, and being that person that was nasty this morning before you left to work, or when you got home from work, or whatever the situation may be. You can ask that forgiveness. How about expressing appreciation for what loved ones do for you? Yeah, how about the meal that was set on the table that you didn't have to prepare? Yeah, how about the fact that you put on clean clothes because you know, your wife or your children or even the husband of a house did the laundry? Whoever does that, have you ever thought about the effort that they put into it? Have you ever expressed appreciation to those loved ones in your life for the things that they do to make your life easier and better? How about your children? Why don't you just grab your children and just hug them and tell them that you love them? Now, for some of you, you sit back and say, well, that's an easy one. I do that all the time. Believe it or not, that's not the case with everybody. Man, there are some people that have such enmity between them and their children that it's unreal. Have you put your arms around them? Have you said, look, I just want you to know that from the bottom of my heart, I love you. And I know that maybe you have some struggles along the way. And your children have those struggles, and they're trying their best to gain your approval. Listen, how about just telling them that you love them and let them know? I get so tired of hearing this, and somebody says, well, they know that. Well, no, they don't know that. It's time for you to tell them that, so there's no doubt about the fact that you already approve of them just because of who they are, not because of the things that they do. Okay. Well, what's another thing, man? You can help a family member to develop their talents. Help them along the way. You can see what's going on. Maybe it's something that you do. Maybe it's one of your talents that you see, and you know that they're trying, but yet they're struggling. And can you help them to develop those talents? I love watching particularly newer parents, and they have smaller children, and you know, those children get to the point where they're starting to talk, and you've gone through that phase when you're teaching them how to pray, and you're teaching them the blessing at the table. You know, God is great, God is good. And then you go over it again at night with, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. All of us have heard those before, and you've done a great, great job with that. Okay, well, that's well and good at that small age, but what happens when they start to get a little bit older and they start to get a little bit more mature? You don't see too many teenagers that are sitting there going, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You need to teach them to expand in their conversation with God. That's what prayer is really all about. And how will they know unless somebody teach them? And who better to teach them than somebody that they know, love, care, and respect? Mom and dad, that's a great, great area for you to do. Help them to develop their talents. Maybe it's not just in helping them say their prayers. Maybe it's in something that they do. Maybe your teenager is a really good public speaker. How can you help them with that? There's so many areas right there that you can do to help them out in developing those talents. How about calling your parents and thanking them for the love that they've given you? How about calling them and thanking them for the prayers that they have prayed for you, and even the ones that you never knew about? You know, maybe the times when your life you were wayward and mom and or dad were on their knees praying that God would protect you and that he would bring you home, and you've gotten through that now. Have you stopped to thank them for praying for you? How about those nights when you had that really high fever and they didn't know, you know, what was going to happen to you, and you were very sick, and they prayed all night and looked after you as best they could? The things that they're not looking for accolades for, but it helps when you recognize those things. And most of the time we'll recognize them because we've been through it as well, and we know the sacrifice that we put in when it comes down to things like that. And if you've done that, then you understand that. And I just want to encourage you to call those parents and thank them for the love and the prayers that they've given you over the years. Yeah, and another thing I really want us to do, I want us to stop griping and start giving compliments. There's a great, great challenge that you have this week. Here's a phenomenal place for you to start when it comes down to doing everything that you do as heartily unto the Lord, is stop griping. Man, I'll tell you one thing, we have become professional gripers in our society in this year of 2024. Yeah, and I know sometimes people say, well, people's attitudes got bad as we came through the pandemic, and they did. They say, well, the attitudes haven't recovered, and a lot of them have not. But folks, we got to stop griping, and we need to start giving some compliments out. Listen, when you go to that restaurant, and you know what, maybe your waiter or waitress has got their hands full, and maybe they forgot to bring you something in particular. Instead of griping at them, why don't you give them a compliment? I will promise you this, that when you do that, they're going to understand that, and they'll try even better to do a good job to make you happy and to take care of you along the way. But if you sit there and just start snapping at them right out of the gate, you've already gotten off to a bad start, okay? So let's not just in going to a restaurant, but let's just stop griping about everything and start giving out compliments. Now, I'm not telling you to lie to people. I'm not telling you to say things that are not true, but we can always find something that we can compliment somebody about, okay? How about start having a daily devotion with your family? I remember growing up, that was one of the things that we used to do. We used to, before bedtime, we'd all kind of go pile up there on mom and dad's bed, and we would have a time, a family devotion together. You don't have to be the latest, greatest pastor to do this. Listen, even if you get a devotional book and just sit down there and read that devotional book to your child, that whatever that day of the week may be. If you're part of a church, a lot of them will have devotionals that come through their literature provider. Some familiar names are The Secret Place, You know, some people have guidestone devotionals, whatever it may be. Just take that moment to get together, because in doing so, you're showing them that spirituality is important to you. And I've said this 1,000 times. Listen, if it's not important to you, it will not be important to your children. If spiritual things aren't important to you, then your children aren't going to be spiritual children either, because they're going to be just like you. You know, if you don't make church a priority and it's not important to you, it won't be important to them. If you will stop or not go to church over the simplest little things, then they will do the same thing. I can't tell you how many people in time have come up to me and said, well, you know what? I just don't understand why my children are the way they are. And in all reality, I can say, because they're just like you. Think about it for a moment. You know, well, yeah, why do my kids, why are they not interested in spiritual things? Well, because you weren't when they were at that time of their life, when they were moldable and fashionable along the way, when you could have instilled in them some of the greatest things that would carry on in their lives, okay? So think about that for a minute. You know, how's that worked out for you? You know, start having that daily devotion with your family. I'm just giving you some ideas as how you can do life, and you can do it heartily, with all of your heart, as unto the Lord. The bottom line is, do something. I used to love what my dad said. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't original to him, but he said, if I was in one of those areas of indecision, he would say something like this. He'd say, well, do something, even if it's wrong. At least you're putting one foot in front of the other. So today I want to challenge you, not only this week, but every day, to do something for the Lord. Okay, remember what we've talked about. I've tried to give you some examples. First of all, do something to enrich your own Christian life. That was the first thing we talked about. Secondly, do something to for your family. It's not for you, it's for them. And then third, do something for your church. You know, too many people have this attitude that church is all about what I can get from it. It's all about me. They need to sing the songs I like. They need to pray the prayers I like. They need to preach the passages that I like. Or I don't like how this was, or I don't like how that was. Do something for your church. How about doing this? How about write an appreciation note to your Sunday school teacher? Write an appreciation note to your pastor? Write an appreciation note to one of the musicians that works every week on Sunday to play that piano or that organ to make your worship experience a good one? How about, you know, write just a little note that says, hey man, you know, I appreciate you for leading the music that we worship by. Can you do that? That is something that you can do for your church. That always reminded me of a joke that was told one time when they went and said, went to a pastor and they said, we want you to help us because we want to get rid of our pastor. And the pastor looked at him and said, oh, really? And they said, well, yeah, what are some steps that we can take to get rid of our pastor? And then the man thought about it for a minute. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, one of the first things you can do is when the pastor hits a really good point during the sermon, he said, you stand up and you shout amen. And then, you know, when a bunch of y'all start doing that, he'll get so excited that he'll preach himself into a heart attack, and then you won't have him anymore. He said, another thing that you can do is that that you can actually follow his leadership along the way. You can become busy, and then what will happen is your church will grow to the point that the largest church around will want to take him away from you. And that's another way that you can get rid of him. So think about that for a minute. Have you encouraged or shown appreciation to those in your life that are watching over your soul, your Sunday school teachers, you know, your pastors, your musicians, those that are leading you in worship, those that are working in your small group, whatever the case may be, show some appreciation to them this week by just writing a simple little note. Now, how about doing this? Now, here's another thing you can do for your church. How about volunteering to maybe teach a Sunday school class? Now, some people say, well, that's just not my thing. There are so many things that we could get you to volunteer to do that would make a tremendous difference and an eternal difference within your church, rather than simply just sitting there on a pew. Do something. Do something for your church. How about offer to pick somebody up on the way to church? How about inviting somebody that you know that's either lost or lives in your neighborhood and say, look, I'd love for you to come to church with me, you know, and I'll bring you. You know, use your car. By the way, it's not your car, it's God's car. He wants you to use it for his honor and glory. You want to bring some people up, maybe bring them to church with you? How about realizing that when you look around, there are some people that are not there this week? Yeah, and you realize it because you know how we are as Baptists. We have our own seat. and we noticed that they weren't in their seat. You know exactly who it is. How about reaching out to them, just saying, hey, look, yeah, I missed you this Sunday. Just wanting to make sure everything is okay. You know, how about if there's something that's wrong, how about letting the pastor know that? Folks, you got to realize that everybody's got things that are going on in their lives, and there's oftentimes when people are sick or what have you that the pastor doesn't even know. I can't tell you how many times before when somebody, you know, I find out that somebody's been in the hospital or whatever, and I said, well, yeah, I didn't know that. And then what they'll say is, well, somebody mentioned it in Sunday school. And I'm like, well, I wasn't in your Sunday school class. So unless you mention that and unless somebody lets us know, there's a lot of things that take place that your pastor and your staff doesn't know about. Okay? So remember, communicate. What's another thing you can do for your church? Increase your giving or start giving. Now, when I say that, I want to be very careful to make a delineation between just giving to the church and tithing to the church. There's a huge difference between the two. There's a lot of people in this day and age who give to their church. They'll throw a little something in when the plate comes around. But the Lord taught us tithing, and He taught us 10%. He said, of all the things I give you, I'm asking you to return a tenth of that so that I might bless you, so that I might make all of a sudden what you have totally become even more. Listen, if God can't trust you with what He's given you now, how would He ever trust you with anything more? So I want to encourage you to take Him up on the challenge. It's not my challenge. This one's His. The challenge over that we find over in Malachi chapter 3. Yeah, it says we're robbing God, but He says, I'll tell you what, you be faithful to give to me, and you watch if I'll not open the windows and pour forth a blessing that you cannot even begin to contain or imagine. You know, I want to encourage you to take God up on His challenge, because that'll be helpful to your church as well. How about this? How about refusing to take part in gossip or criticism of your Christian brothers and sisters or of your leaders? Let me tell you something that I know. I know for a fact that there's a whole lot of conversation that goes on about leaders and about other people, particularly in certain circumstances and situations of their lives. And I also want you to know this as well. The pastor always knows what's been said. He always knows who said it, and he always knows where it's been said. I will make you that promise. The gossip gets around, and the Lord speaks against that, so we should not do that. Listen, why don't you refuse to take part in that? The first time that you do that, you will find yourself out of the gossip circle, okay? You know, when somebody starts saying, well, would you hear about so-and-so over there? You're like, okay, look, listen, I don't want to hear anything about gossip. And then you'll shock them. They'll be like, oh, okay, well, I won't say anything more about that. And that's exactly what we need to do. Okay, how about this one? Something else that you can do for your church. How about join the choir? Or use some other talent that God has given you that you have been hiding or that you have just been simply sitting on. Use it for God's glory. Remember what He said, whatever you do. And then, by the way, when you do it, do the best you can. Don't just give it a half effort. Listen, if you're going to teach a Sunday school class, spend time in preparing for that. If you're going to sing in the choir, show up to choir practice so that you can go over the song and do your very best. Don't do it half-heartedly. What does the Word tell us? The Scripture tells us today that whatever we do, do it heartily. That means, again, with all of your heart. Have you put your best effort in it? Do it heartily. As unto the Lord, not to men. When you sing in the choir, you're not singing for the people that are out there. You're singing for the Father. When you teach that Sunday school class, you are doing that because God has given you the talent and ability, and He's called you to do that. When you preach a sermon, you are doing that because God has called you to do that. So are you doing the best that you can as you use those talents and abilities for the Lord? You know what? How about start a prayer group for revival? One of the things I love is that our ladies are gathering now, and they're praying. They're praying that God's going to just shake the foundations of this church, this town, and each and every one of our lives that we might see true revival. That's a great thing, man. I can't wait to see what God is going to do through that, okay? And then finally, what I want to talk about is the fact that we need to do something to fulfill our responsibility to world evangelism. We know what the Great Commission tells us. The Great Commission says that we're to go out into the world and preach the gospel. We're to go out, we're to make disciples. What are you doing to fulfill that? Remember, we're talking about do something. Okay, what is the something you're doing? Yeah, here's something that you can do to help fulfill that Great Commission. How about contacting your neighborhood families and inviting them to come to church with you? Yeah, I didn't even say to go over there and give them the plan of salvation. I said, just invite them to come to church with you. Listen, if you get them here, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Have you done that? How about visiting a lonely person who needs Christ. Maybe there's that somebody in your neighborhood that doesn't have family members around anymore. Maybe they're the last of their line, or they're just lonely. Maybe there's a widow within your community. How about dropping by just to visit with them, just because they need to know somebody cares about them and that somebody loves them. Listen, if you want to show up with a pan of cookies or something like that, man, that'll go a long way just to being able to say, hey, look, I was just thinking about you and wanted you to know. I've seen that happen. I've seen that take place in my hometown with a very, very precious neighbor that that my mother has now, who looks after her, just comes over to have a cup of coffee, comes over, brings breakfast to her. Because and why does she do that? Not because she feels like she has to, but because she is a person who loves the Lord and loves to show to be the Lord's hands and feet and voice in the hearts and the lives of other people. And what a precious, precious soul she really is. Okay, go visit that lonely person that needs Christ. How about maybe even you can start giving out some tracts, you know, wherever you go. Maybe you could leave one. Maybe you could leave around. Now, I know some people say, well, that's kind of old, out of date. Well, you know what? It still works. When somebody reads the gospel, the word doesn't return void. It's still something that we can do. How about write to a missionary? Maybe enclose a gift to say, hey, look, you know, we were talking about you in church today, or you're one of our international or one of our North American missionaries, and I just wanted to write to you and let you know I prayed for you today, and I'm going to keep on praying for you, and I just wanted to send you just a little gift to let you know that I love you. Man, you would not believe how far that goes. How about, you know, taking a class on how to do some personal evangelism or some personal witnessing? Folks, it's not that tough. It really isn't. Most of the time for me, it's not sitting there using 3 points in a poem. It's about having a conversation and being able to steer that conversation around to talking about some spiritual things. Okay? What else is something you can do to fulfill your responsibility to world evangelism? You can increase your giving to missions. We have offerings through our church. We have the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which is for North American missions. We have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and that's for international missions, those that are overseas. And we do mission endeavors here through the church. And in fact, you know, this is one of those that, like, when our Cuba team was going out, we spent the weeks leading up to their departure taking the time to allow you to participate and fund that particular ministry. Not the people that were going. The missionaries paid their own way. But everything that you gave went to the ministry that was out there on the field. That's something that you can do. And you can, guess what else you can do? You can pray for the special needs of those missionaries. I will promise you this, and I know people say it all the time, as being part of a mission team, prayer is the one thing that we need more than anything. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Money's not a problem for him. He prompts and he leads hearts. But man, we need you to pray for us as we minister. We need for you to pray for our missionaries as they go out. And we need you to pray for those that are part of our Southern Baptist Convention as they go out into the fields, and some of them that are out there full time. Okay, so there's some things you can do. Let's stop being part time Christians. See, we're to serve the Lord heartily with all of our heart as unto Him. There is no such a thing as sacred versus secular things when it comes down to Christians. Everything that we do should be done for the Lord. If it's not, then you probably need to question your motives as to why you're doing the things that you're doing. How can the Lord get honor and glory out of what it is that we're doing? Okay? I love the quote, like a mighty army moves the church of God. You know, too often this isn't true in our day and age. Let it start being true for you and me. Yeah, we have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Most of us know that quote from Esther when she was told, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It is no accident that God has you where He's got you. There's no accident that He gave you the talents and abilities that He has given you. But the question is, are you using those, number one? And then number two, are you using them with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might? So your challenge for this week is to do something, number one, to enrich your Christian life. Secondly, do something for your family. Thirdly, do something for your church. And then finally, do something to fulfill your responsibility to world evangelism. And I promise you that in doing so, God can use you to change the world. Okay, let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at this week as far as our scripture reading so that we can be prepared for next week. This week, I want to encourage you to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Once again, that is Hebrews chapter 11. And next week, as we head into Mother's Day, we're going to discuss Moses' mother out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23-27. So I pray that you will be read up and studied up, and I pray that you will take advantage of the opportunities that I have had the opportunity to present you today to challenge you to do everything that you do heartily as unto the Lord, not with half effort, but with full effort, that God might use you for His kingdom and for His sake. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, I want to thank you for the fact that you still call men to do your ministry, to do your business. And Lord, there is power in positive action, not just sitting around. Lord, thank you for the example that you gave us in Paul. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to be ready to spring into action, to do something to enrich our lives and our families' lives and enrich the life of our church. And Lord, to be used in evangelism. And Lord, help us not just to give it a half effort, but to give it everything that we've got. Lord, that when we have that opportunity to stand face to face to you, we will truly hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." So Lord, go with us as we go from this week, through this week. And Lord, I pray that you will use us in a manner that is conducive to reaching souls and drawing them to you. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, thank you so much for taking your time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, to join us. Our services start at 10:45 every Sunday. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. That's just north of Greensboro. And our church is located right across from the historic Oak Ridge Military Academy. And we would love to have you come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. I pray God's going to give you a great week. I pray He's going to open your eyes this week. And I pray He's going to bless you more than you have ever thought that He could as you follow His steps to be all He wants you to be. God bless you. I'll see you Sunday.